Yo, welcome, 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 and welcome. We have a lot to get to today. Like a lot, and I'm very happy to be back. I don't know when the last retro shopping thing I told you guys was, but I got Sonic Heroes for Xbox. I got Ultimate Spider-Man for Xbox. This is the intro. This isn't the catch-up. So, what's up? We got a lot to go over today. Game news, what I've been doing, game news, other stuff, things that I've watched maybe. I don't know, but we've got a lot to go over, and we've got a lot to talk about or mention. Don't know if it's going to be a long podcast, but it's going to be a lot of stuff. So we got that going for us. So thank you for sticking around with your boy. Welcome to season 5. Let's get your nerd on. All right, so first off, let's start with I built a PC recently, and I've been playing Valorant on it. It's really great. I really built this PC so I can play Valorant and so I could get Death Stranding on Xbox ecosystem and get achievements for it. So there's that. Yay. I also went retro shopping a lot recently, and I got like a bunch of PS1 games. I got Rascal, a game that I fucking love. I'm so happy that I got that. Let's get ready to rumble. 007, Sonic for the Xbox original, Shadow the Hedgehog for the Xbox original, one of the best Sonic game ever. Ultimate Spider-Man, best Spider-Man game ever. 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 God, for the Xbox original. But my Xbox original is broke, so my boy is trying to fix them right now. I'm fixing up my library. We already talked about Christmas. I'm pretty sure we talked about Christmas. I feel like we talked about Christmas. Maybe we didn't talk about Christmas, but I'm going to assume we talked about Christmas. If we didn't talk about Christmas, I got Akira box set for Christmas. It's fucking awesome-ass gift. Wonderful-ass gift. I love hardcovers. I got an awesome music box for Christmas. I like that. I got a Ghost in the Shell single issue comic for Christmas for Ghost in the Shell 2. That makes me happy. And yeah, honestly, that was it. But it was like the greatest gifts ever. I loved them. I'm always gonna love a Ghost in the Shell gift. All right, let's see. There's that. I've been reading a lot of Miles Morales on the Marvel app. I'm going to go back to reading Batgirl, which I was reading a lot of. I was finishing up Batgirl because I never finished up Cassandra Kane Batgirl. I bought my comics, but, you know, I haven't had a chance to really read them. Valorant's been treating me okay. I sucked, and then the more I play, the better I get, which I didn't think was going to be possible for this type of game. But, hey, I'm doing a little bit better. Let's see, what else do we do? I sold my PlayStation controller to get these pieces from my computer, so I no longer have a PlayStation controller. I don't have a Switch either, so I can't finish my Nair review. But yeah, there's more than that. I watched some movies. I watched The Menu. We'll probably talk about The Menu if I can remember. Watch Glass Onion. We could talk about Glass Onion too. I feel like I mentioned that last podcast, but it's okay. If it's not in the bonus episode, then it's not in the bonus episode. Season 5, new picture. Let's see. Man, I rewatched Ghost in the Shell. Oh, I rewatched Ghost in the Shell Innocence again. So I totally forgot to put that on my counter. So it's time to put that on my counter. And I will share my stats with you guys. So ever since I started keeping track of this, which has probably only been 4 months now, I've watched Ghost in the Shell 1995 7 times, Ghost in the Shell Live Action 3 times, Ghost in the Shell 2 Innocence 4 times, Ghost in the Shell Arise 2 times, Ghost in the Shell New Movie 1 time, Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex 6 times, Ghost in the Shell Standalone Complex Second Gig 3 times, Ghost in the Shell SAC 2045 3 times, Ghost in the Shell SAC 2045 Season 2 one time, Ghost in the Shell, Solid State Society, four times. And I'm going to rewatch Solid State Society again this week because I really like that film. It's a really good Togusa and Bato film, personally. That's how I feel. I really like it. Yeah. So now I'm sitting here eating some avocado with salt and pepper because I don't have any chips. I have a spoon. While I tell you guys this podcast stuff. I also bought some new Yu-Gi-Oh cards. And they came with Elemental Heroes. I love Elemental Heroes. Elemental Heroes are cool. Alright, so I guess it's time to get to the news. We got sad news in gaming. We have good news, I suppose. And we have an Xbox event coming up. So we will get to all of this. All of it. Today. Okay, so yeah, it's a good time to be a gamer. So, and a sad time to be a Ubisoft fan. Anyway, Ubisoft cancels games and delays Skull and Bones again. So some games that have not even been announced yet have been canceled, and a couple that have been announced are canceled. And Skull and Bones is delayed yet again. I don't know if this game's ever coming out. I don't think it is, but it's ridiculous how long it's taking them to create this game. Seeing as they already have the basis of the game being Black Flag, technically. I pray that this game comes out because because people that worked really hard on it worked on it. And I believe that their creation deserves to see the light of day. But if we're being honest, I don't think this game's ever coming out. I don't expect to ever see this game a day in my life. Ever. Ubisoft should probably make smaller games every now and then in order to, you know, divvy up this this grand EO scale that they keep putting themselves on, because their smaller games seem to work. Like Unravel and Unravel 2, I think that they should promote those a little harder and get people to play them. Okay, here's the thing with gamers. Everyone's a gamer, yes. There's really no rules to being a gamer, but for serious / jokey reasons, I'm going to say this. Everybody is a fake gamer nowadays because everybody just only wants to play the AAA things and they don't give the other stuff a time of day. And some of those games are absolutely great. And I think this also puts pressure on a lot of developers. All the developers are going to develop what they really, really want to develop. But some of these companies will make them work on games that are just super AAA, and then the game comes out ass because, like, it's not even a real project that they want to do. Their boss is just like, yo, we're going to make fucking the 70th Call of Duty game, and they're just like, yay, Call of Duty, I mean, it's what I know how to do, but, like, I don't want to do it. And then, yeah, lackluster games, that's what happens. So I think Ubisoft should probably try and work on some intimate titles, some non-open world titles. You can give us linear games again, we'll talk about that later, but linear games are totally fine. You can give us semi-open world games, like, I don't know. You don't have to make everything so huge. Speaking of games and not doing so well, apparently Forspoken is not doing great with most of the players, if not all the players. The reviews range from like 3 to 8. The game looks really fun to me still to this day. Even the dialogue is funny to me. I'm not saying it's great dialogue, but I don't think it's bad enough to warrant all the shit that it's getting. I'm going to support it for a couple reasons, but if it's bad, it's bad. I'll come here and I'll say it's bad. You guys were getting off the dome about it if it's bad, but I'm going to support the game for now. I was excited about it. I'm going to keep being excited about it. You know me, I don't bank on reviews, and I don't want you guys to bank on my opinion of it. If you use my opinion, that's fine, but don't make opinion to be the end all be all answers. I mean, I know a lot of people use it to save money, but like, some things you just gotta experience, otherwise you really aren't gonna be sure, in my opinion. And that's why I just buy every game that I get my hands on. Speaking of buying every game that I get my hands on, I got Deadly Alliance for the Xbox, I got Tenchu Wrath of Heaven, and I got another Tenchu game that was on Xbox that I didn't know was on Xbox. Oh my god, my Xbox collection is shaping up again. Anyway, sorry. Yeah, So, Forspoken isn't doing so good. We'll see at some point. Dead Space released. I didn't get that yet. We'll get that next paycheck. Because you guys don't pay me yet. So, next paycheck, we're going to get Dead Space. We're going to fuck with Dead Space. We're going to fuck with a little bit of Forspoken. I need to get a new PlayStation controller before I fuck with Forspoken. We probably won't have much opinion on those games till I come back from my cruise in March, though. So, I know that's a while to wait. But I promise I'll work on pieces of that. There's also Fire Emblem that just came out. And then I need to get my hands on Bayonetta 3. So I might not get those games until after I get back from my cruise. I don't know. I got to figure out the order. I'm planning on getting a Switch for my cruise. If I get a Switch for my cruise, I'm going to get a Switch game instead of one of those other games. And then we'll talk about either Bayonetta 3 or Fire Emblem if that works out. Otherwise, I'll just get the Xbox games and the one PlayStation game, and we'll see what happens. Although I am planning on holding out on Forspoken until the Xbox version comes out in 2 years. So I don't know. This is going to be really hard. We still got to finish God of War and do an Off the Dome for that. Let's continue for now. We'll figure that out. Xbox Showcase. Just so you know, this note was taken before the showcase. Xbox Showcase. I feel like they're doing this to get extra details to these games they announce and to make room for E3 so they do not have to worry about giving 700 hours of stuff we already know about. And if that's the case, I expect E3 to have mostly new stuff or updates in games that have been in the works that we have not really heard about. And before we get to the Xbox Showcase, Microsoft lays off a bunch of its workers, especially in the gaming division, with people from the Coalition, 343 Industries, and a couple more, and outside of gaming, of course. But fans are more concerned about the future of Halo, with the new layoffs, and backed by workers mentioning that, like, there was incompetence in the leadership. What's gonna happen to Halo? Is it gonna die? Is the flagship gonna change? Is Microsoft gonna slowly shove it under the bus? I can tell you right now, we've got news on that, but you're going to have to wait until we get through the Xbox Showcase. A deep dive into Minecraft Legends, and it totally looks so clever. I'm surprised at how fun they can make Minecraft each time they take it away from its main title. It's a PvP tower defense style game, and it's so cool, crazy, hectic, and you can strategize like crazy. Like, they said that, like, it's just so cool and they gave you so many options that you're almost never going to play somebody who has the same strategy as someone else. And I'm actually very excited for that. Like, I think I'm going to take my time. I'm going to take days off so I can take my time to figure out how to play this game because it just looks really cool. And I haven't played a tower defense game since the iOS was first getting, like, really cool games, and they had that one stick tower defense game, and you would pick up this. I used to jailbreak my phone just to play this because it was not a free game. You would use your finger, you would pick up the person, and you would fling them, and you have to keep flinging them. You can buy little defenses and stuff to make defending your tower easier, but, like, it was just flinging, and I miss it. It was good. I miss that. There's a lot of iOS games that are not on the market anymore, and I really fucking wish they were. Like, there's a game that I keep thinking is Infinity Blade, but it's not Infinity Blade. Infinity Blade was an RPG. This was a fighting game. It was a something Blade. I'm almost certain it was a something Blade, but it was a fighting game. If anyone hears this and they know the game, at me, P90 the rapper on Twitter. It was a fighting game, right? There was a girl with a whip. She was kind of like, I think her name's Ivy from Soul Calibur. There was a girl with a whip. There was this big dude in armor. He looked like he belonged in Diablo. He had a really long sword. It was a 1v1 fighting game. And it was just one of the coolest games. There was another dude who looked like he was at a Soul Calibur, and he looked like he had, like, a bondage outfit on. Like, it was a dude. He was like a dude as if they tried to sexualize the male outfit, like, fighting outfit. He really looks like another character. I just can't think of his name because I'm not good with male characters, because I just genuinely don't play them. Everyone who knows, who's been listening to this podcast knows I barely play male characters. So, but, oh my god, if you remember the name, if you ever played the iOS fighting game, please let me know. And if it is Infinity Blade, it's Infinity Blade, but I don't believe it was. Please let me know. I missed that game. If I can find someone who has, like, a jailbroken version of that game, I'm gonna find it. I'm gonna get it. I don't care. That was the best fighting game. That was the best video game I've ever played on iOS next to Xenonia. Xenonia is some of the best RPGing on a iPhone device. Holy shit. All the Xenonias, mainly 1, 2, and 3, fucking phenomenal. I'm gonna download it. I have Xenonia 4. I've been, like, wanting to play it but not playing it. Oh my god, Xenonia is such a good fucking game. Like, absolutely a stunning game. It's a really fun mobile game. I'm off track again, dog. Yeah, I love games. You know I love games. Anyway, Minecraft Legends comes out April 18th, 2023, and that you should check out the video if you're excited, or if you just want an interest in it, or if you like tower defense games. Check it out. It's great. It's going to be in Game Pass because it's an Xbox based Xbox studio game. There we go. But it's going to come to all platforms. So, and it's going to be crossplay. So you're never going to run out of people to face against. I hope for nothing but success for this fun ass game. Turn 10 Studios shows us how the extra deep dive that we get into Forza. That absolute next gen version Forza, the most next gen racing game we'll ever get, the most technologically advanced race game that will ever come out to date. Damn near everything was recreated from the ground up, like the sounds and the environments and the car structure, because they have new details to show you how things get dirty, how the heat will fuck up your tires. It's gonna have a calculating technology. Rain will fuck up how you drive. It is the truest simulation that we will get to date. This is the as of now, this is the flight simulator of fucking racing, and it's actually really cool. Over 500 cars will be ready upon release. Multiple terabytes of location data was used to create the tracks. Like, there's just some really insane information. The people who work on the Forza games at Turn 10, they go hard. Forza workers are the most perfectionist people in video game. I don't care what anyone says. They're the most perfectionist people in video games. With that being said, Forza and all 500 of its cars will release upon us later this year in 2023. Sadly, they did not give us an exact date. I know a lot of people were really, really excited for this game, and they want an exact date. It was supposed to come out in, I believe, Q1. It could come out at the really tail end of Q1, or it could come out early Q2. We'll find out at some point. But regardless, they're set on 2023, and I think that's absolutely fine. That is good enough. That is another exclusive that we can bank on coming out this year. So far, two exclusives coming out this year that they are positive with. Tango Gameworks drops a game that we didn't expect to see. And dude, it's awesome. It's a fucking music. This dude has a music player in his chest due to a weird experiment that went wrong. A rhythm game of action that kind of looks like a 2022 Jet Set Radio Future art style mixed with a little sunset inspired. But you won't fight alone in this game. Your character has some cool allies that can help him out with like an assist button and help him get through the game, like taking down environment, taking out enemies, finding hidden things, and getting your way to the top of this evil corporation to take down the big boss, because they fucked you up. And they fucked up some people. And people want some revenge. So, yeah. Hi-Fi Rush will bring its funny high. Oh, wait. Bring it. No, never mind. It's already here. Yeah. Hi-Fi Rush was a stealth drop. And it dropped. And the second that showcase was over, I went directly to my Xbox and downloaded that shit. I suspended whatever game was playing. And, man. Whoo. Love it. That game is great. That game is absolutely fucking phenomenal. Like, Xbox Stealth dropped a 10 out of 10. And I'm so excited for Tango for dropping this game. They said that they don't even think they would have been able to make this game without the opportunity that they had here. And I love that for them. I'm so excited. That is great because this game literally turned out to be fucking awesome. This game turned out to be, like, such fun. It's great. And it's like 11 hours of gameplay. I'm only about 4 hours into it, but it's really good. And it takes itself just as serious as it needs to take itself, and it has some really cool support characters in it right now. There's this girl named Peppermint. She's so awesome. She's cutie. She's freaking dope. And then she has a cat named 808, and a cat just helps you out and shit, and it's awesome. And I also just realized something while I was playing the game earlier. This game is like pro people with disabilities. Right? All right, so if it's offensive, I don't mean it to be, but I was really thinking. The dude went to, I didn't pay attention. I don't know if his arm was messed up, right? So he went, and this is the beginning of the game. It's a little bit of a spoiler, but this is why I think that. So this guy, dude, his arm was messed up. He went through this the little program, got his arm replaced with like a robot arm, and it does cool shit. And then Peppermint has a robot leg, and I didn't notice it until randomly. I was just like, yo, she has a robot leg. And it's like, whoa, she has a robot leg. Is this like pro people with disabilities? Like, this is really cool. It's like, you guys could, people with disabilities have abilities, and it's fucking awesome. It's so cool. This game is actually really fucking fantastic, yo. I love it. If you have not tried it, if you have Game Pass, if you have some extra money, go play Hi-Fi Rush. I cannot recommend this enough. Not because I'm an Xbox fan, but because it is a good freaking game. I'm gonna tell you right now, this game is getting a 4 or 5. It's getting 4 or 5 Elite Controllers. No halfies, nothing. It's either getting a 4 Elite Controllers out of 5 or 5 Elite Controllers out of 5. I promise you that. I might even change from Elite Controllers to the mascot. I don't know. But yeah, bro. We might change to Peppermints, yo. I'm going to see about that. We might have to change it to Peppermints. Word to everything, bro. Word to everything. Anyway, ZeniMax Online gives us a look into more ESO, a teaser for the next chapter that comes June 5th with a new class, Arcanist. I'm about to start playing this game again, I swear to God. You know what? I'm going to go download it right after this podcast is done recording because that should look good. And for a limited time, you can play all the previous DLC for free. So because of that, I damn sure need to hop on this Elder Scrolls Kills. I really liked it. It's just a lot going on, and I got a lot of games to play. But like, Elder Scrolls Online is fun. Finally, we get to see one of the more anticipated games, Redfall, a game about nasty vampires in this 4-player story-driven co-op shooter, which you can also play alone, and it will feel just as great, they promise. Gameplay shows us how moves work and how we get a lot of our missions from people like survivors. We also see different vampire types, like ones that can make shrouds that would shade the entire area and you kind of can't see anything outside of the little bubble. The game is filled with interactions and customizations. It's like Dead Rising, but for vampires, because you can like create your own shit. Reminds me a lot of Call of Duty Zombies, but like with a very set story. You can slay vampires this year, May 2nd in Redfall. Bite back. I'm so excited for this game because I just want more Xbox games, and I also love vampires a lot. So it's cool to see this twist on vampires, because we always get like a monster game or we get a zombie game. Well, we're getting vampires this time, and it's going to be cool, and I can play with friends, or I can play alone, and I'm very excited. I want to play this game. I want to explore, and, you know, they never really steer us wrong over there, so I'm just very, 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 very excited. All right, now to catch up a little bit, we're fast forwarding to today. You know how I do this podcast sometimes. Sometimes I'll take notes, and then the notes are in the time. So those were all yesterday's notes, like, all right, 2 days ago from me recording this right now. I'm recording this on the 28th. Those notes were from the 26th, and these notes now are from the 27th.5. All right, never mind. You know, it's like lore to my podcast. My podcast has lore. This is great. I love it. I wish I could show you guys my shelf. I'm sorry, I'm off track. I'm actually very excited to be back here and doing this properly. So bear with me, guys. Thank you so much for sticking it out. It means a lot to me, y'all. It means a lot that you guys have so much faith in me. But let me continue. I played Hi-Fi Rush because it was announced during the showcase we just talked about, and 5 hours or more into the game, and I'm loving it. A full Off the Dome will be posted, I promise. I don't know when I'm going to post it. I don't know if I'm going to wait till I beat it or till I get close to the end, but an Off the Dome will definitely get made once I feel like I've gathered enough data. But the game is great. It's a rhythm game you can play with or without rhythm. Unless you're trying to parry, then you need some fucking rhythm for that. Trust me. The window is small. But there's this little chip that you can get that can help you increase the parry time by like a split second. And it's useful. It's fucking useful. If you fucking suck at this shit. Sorry, got a little vulgar here today. I'm always vulgar. And it's so user-friendly and extremely fun. It's worth the try whether you buy it or play it on Game Pass, like I said earlier. There's no microtransactions either. It's a single play. There's a deluxe version that gives you more gears so you can get a head start, but there's no microtransactions. You can totally get the regular version or just get the costumes that come with the deluxe edition. You do not need to buy the extra gears. You can get everything you need if you just play the game right. And you're going to play it multiple times. The game is fun. You're going to want to play it more than once. There's a couple of difficulties. It reminds me of like Devil May Cry, but like a simpler version, but a little bit more complex in a different ways. Because it has a grading system, and I actually really like the grading system. It's really cool, and it makes you feel like shit about being off beat. So it makes you want to play the game again and try and be more on beat. This game does a really good job at being itself. But like I said, there's no microtransactions, and it's a single-player story-driven game with no open world, but there's still enough world to make you go a little bit off the path and go searching for stuff, because they have lore in the game. They have these tablets that you can pick up, and they're funny, and they're cool, and the bosses all have different personalities, and I love it. But that's all I'm going to say, because you got to wait for the Off the Dome for more. Catch the Off the Dome on the YouTube channel, P90 The Rapper's YouTube channel. The Off the Domes are there. Just type it. If you just want to search Off the Dome, type in Off the Dome, and then type in the name of the game that I said that I'm making it of. Like this one, you'll do Off the Dome Hi-Fi Rush, and it should pop up there. Off the Dome, blah, 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 blah. You get the fucking picture. Thank you for bearing with me, I swear. Also, I was sick, and I'm still recovering from this cough. So, like I said earlier, we have an answer to the Halo thing, kind of, and 343 will no longer be making Halo proper. They will be overseeing Halo, like, campaign, but they will continue to work on multiplayer, and they will continue to come up with the roadmaps for multiplayer and stuff like that. People will consult 343 when it comes to Halo, but Halo will be put into the hands of possibly other people, either contracted or when they get Blizzard Activision and they rotate things around. And I think that's actually a really good idea, because now that means that we can get different types of Halo. We can get horror Halo, we can get things like ODST, we can get things like Reach. The lore can really stretch if you give multiple teams. Oh my god, if you give Halo to multiple teams within the fucking the gaming industry that can work on Halo games for Xbox, bro, we can have multiple Halo games a year. You can have like 2 Halo games every year. You can have more turn-based games. You can have a tower defense Halo if you really fucking want to do a tower defense Halo, which is basically Halo Wars but different. You can do you can do a horror, you can do an action Halo. Yo, listen, all right, hear me out. We're used to Halo being a first person shooter, but what if we get an action Halo that follows, say, an orbiter, some sort of elite, some allied faction, or a different Spartan that uses a different type of moveset than Chief does? Because if you read the book, there are some Spartans that, well, all the Spartans are very agile. Some of them are just different. Like, some of them really move different and do different things. So maybe it might be time to cook up an action Halo game with different Spartans. JK, or we can get like a horror survival game with, I mean, no one wants to play as the Marines, maybe, but we can get a Sergeant Johnson game. We can get a Sergeant Johnson game. He has an entire book. We can get a Sergeant Johnson game. We can get a new ODST. We could do an ODST game. Floods are back. They're like, you drop them down on a planet, or the floods re-overrun something. You give them a task that they will not survive, or they will survive. And you just, it's just this mini game, this mini full game, standalone game about ODSTs versus the flood. And like, they're just ill-equipped, even with all the knowledge that we know about floods. And they just give you this huge horror aspect. And everything just goes wrong this entire mission up until the end. Because, of course, we got to win just a little bit. So whatever it is that we're going after, we either take it out or we get the information sent. Listen. This is just off the dome, so don't shoot me yet. I didn't well think it out, but seriously, an ODSTD flood game would be fucking creepy. Truly. Because they'd have limited gear. Persona is on Game Pass. Persona 3, Persona 4 Golden, and Persona 5 Royale. All on Game Pass. All fantastic games. If you need a long RPG, if you need a game to hold out until the next games come out from Microsoft, get on that. After playing Hi-Fi Rush, of course, Persona games are really great. They're very dark. They have suicidal tendencies. They deal with a lot of real-world problems. They're fantastic games. I think everyone should play them. Everyone should try them out. You should truly enjoy them. You should have some fun. On that note, Monster Hunter Rise is also on Game Pass. There's that to look forward to. That game is also very fun. It does not have lock on, and I totally forgot about that. So I'm over here clicking buttons, trying to lock on to a monster. Does not work. I'm over here swinging to the left, to the right, not straight. You gotta aim your character. You gotta be careful with those swings. You cannot hack and slash like crazy. You will be swinging the wrong way, and a monster will come up behind you and bite your neck off. So be careful when playing that game. There is no lock on, but it is very fun. Played it on the Switch, but now that it's on Xbox, I'm definitely gonna beat it because I want achievements and I love achievements. What can I say, man? I just really like achievements. I know, I'm an achievement whore. That's what we used to call people back in the day. Achievement whores, not hunters, achievement whores, and that is me. Callisto Protocol adds a new game plus feature, besides the fact that people hate it and it sucks. I'm sorry, I gotta do a video on that too. But Callisto Protocol updates 1.09, and players who previously completed the game will have access to a new game plus after the patch. Application restart may be required. Fix issues where some users were not correctly granted. The protocol is about life achievement. General performance optimizations across all platforms. Players no longer take damage when vaulting over obstacles. And some other fixes, as well as PS4 crashes. I mean, I don't know who's playing it now that Dead Space is out, but if you started the game, or if you own the game, give it a shot. I mean, you know me, I give everything a shot, so I say give it a shot. I watched the first episode of Last of Us, by the way. I guess it's game and TV news, so the show's great. It's that first episode gets a 9 out of 10. I really, really like it. I don't really care for the Ellie actor. She does a fantastic job acting. But just, I don't know. You know me. I complain about this all the time. And yes, I'm complaining about the other things in there too. But this one's just like extreme to me. The actors don't look like all the characters. All right, like fine. They don't have to be the same ethnicity down to the bone. Like if she was Irish and this girl is Polish, I'm not going to be mad. It's just about looks. I just want to see the video game come to life fully. Like, all the way to the bone. But it's okay. I'm not going to give them a hard time. Because the show was just too fantastic to give them a hard time. But I just want y'all to know, like, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and be like, yo, I hate that Starfire isn't orange. And then just be like, oh, Last of Us is fucking perfect. No, I wouldn't do that. I stand on my shit. wish everybody could just, I wish they could find people that looked as close to possible as they could. I feel like that with all shows, but I know it's impossible. It's just one of my little gripes. I don't know. Every time I think of like an adaptation, it's like, oh, you're going to adapt the whole thing to the absolute possiblest fullest. But it's never that easy. This is very true. Ubisoft apparently was laughed at in acquisition talks, which is really hilarious and sad. But also, the staff were apparently told the ball is in your court, meaning it's all upon them if things fail or not, which is really kind of fucked up. You guys are supposed to manage them. What the fuck do you mean it's up to them? That's not cool. Like, you guys have to... Your job is to go in there, check the games, make sure they're coming out good, make sure the quality is great, hire great QA people, all that stuff. You guys, they develop what you tell them to develop. They're going to try their hardest. But if no one's managing them properly, you're going to get shit games. Look at Microsoft. The games get delayed and canceled and shit when no one manages properly. And when they manage properly, shit gets done. Bungie teases multiple PlayStation games in the work. A number of games, not just one. So something outside of Destiny. You can probably expect another live action game. I mean, live service game. But we'll have to see when it actually comes because there's not that much information. But we will... Again, we'll just have to see what happens. That's all we really got. Oh, rumors have surfaced that Scalebound may be coming back, and I think it should. I think it's a perfect time for Scalebound to come back. I feel like I said this already, but it's okay. I'm saying again because I love the idea of Scalebound. We have the technology now, I would assume, because this game was supposed to be on the Xbox One, but now we have the series. I think it is time to try again. And I really hope it works out. I am very, very hyped for this game if it works out. Dragons with your homies. Come on. That's great. Need it. Fucking need it. That is all I can say for now is I need it. Hideo Kojima believes he'll still be making video games as an AI in 100 years. And, dude, I hate AIs. But if there's a Kojima AI... My hands are up, bro. Kojima's just too awesome. I can't shit on him. Kojima AI, please just keep making the dopest games ever, bro. I fuck with you, bro. I fuck with you. I want to make a video game with you. Like, I would like to make a video game and, like, run it by you and just have, like, your inputs on stuff. Like, Kojima and Yoko, those are my guys, yo. I love them. I love them. They're freaking awesome. So, they can't do to me no wrong. No wrong at all. Also, the Nair anime came out. And it's so fucking awesome. But then it got delayed because of production. Well, they said COVID, but it's either COVID or production issues, and they're using COVID. But if it's COVID, I hope everyone is doing better. But regardless, it's such a good show. People complain about the CGI, and I think they're going to go back and try and touch up on that CGI, change it a bit for future episodes. But other than that, man... I'm loving it. It's getting 10 out of 10s for me. It's so fucking great. They added new content. Yo, dude, episode 2 was beautiful. Like, it was really interesting to see what happened to... Spoiler, if you have not played Nair or if you have not been watching Nair. I mean, if you watch Nair, this is still going to be a spoiler. But spoiler, I'm only telling you guys this because Nair means a lot to me, and I don't want to spoil you if you have not read it. So anyway, episode 2 did a really good job of, like, giving us Emil context, and you don't know what it is until it happens, and my heart sank. I am so fucking ready for more. Hopefully it comes back soon, and hopefully it comes back stronger and better than ever. Hopefully they rebroadcast. I want them to start it from the top again. I love it. I will rewatch it. I'm gonna buy every episode. I'm gonna buy the anime. I love Nario. Guys, if this podcast ever gets super popular and you ever want to gift me stuff, just gift me things related Nair, Kingdom Hearts, Nair, Kingdom Hearts, X-Men, Nair, katanas. I love katanas so much. Katanas, not katana from Mortal Kombat, even though I'm a big Mortal Kombat fan. But katanas, katanas and tantos, I love them. They're great. I'm going to buy a new katana next paycheck. I need one. It's about time. I deserve it. I need to find a place to hang my katanas. All right, but anyway, that's everything for the game news. I'm going to siphon through the other stuff, see if there's any good news for, we'll say, TV, movies, and then comic book related stuff, or I will talk about comics that I read in depth. Otherwise, thank you for sticking through the segment, and see you for the next one, which is basically just a couple of rundowns on some stuff, like Avengers X-Men Eternals is over, and they have lived, and they have one more chance to try and basically work together. They are no longer being judged at the moment. Dark Crisis has ended. I have not read anything about it, but I know almost everything that happened. We will be getting a shit ton of new DC comics. We're going to get some Green Lanterns, and none of them are Jessica Cruz, and that's absolutely fucking horrendous if you ask me. Avatar 2 passes $2.1 billion at the global box office, and that is insane. That movie just gets all of its money based off of looks. And also, it's been like 12,000 years since the last one. There's a new Batman animation coming out, and I honestly think that shit looks unappealing to me personally. None of the animations look the same anymore. I miss the old DC animations. Those things were fucking beautiful. I don't know if I told you guys that I played the Street Fighter beta. It was fun. It was alright. I enjoy it. I can't wait for more Street Fighter. Not gonna lie. It's coming on Xbox finally. I need that. Oh man, I put that in the wrong spot. Mark Hamill is retiring from playing the Joker because without Kevin Conroy, there's no more Joker. At least this version of it. And that's totally fine. I respect it. I mean, those two went hand in hand pretty much. The Batman animation was The Doom That Came to Gotham. It's got a trailer. It's a little mystical, and I'm personally not feeling it. Me personally ain't feeling it too much. Try it though. I haven't actually tried any of the DC animations in a long time, but fuck it. Borderlands movie is getting reshoots from its Deadpool, from Deadpool's Tim Miller. Don't know how much of the movie's gonna change because of that, but hey, at least the Borderlands movie is still happening. It's like better than nothing if you're a Borderlands fan or a movie fan or a gaming movie fan and you're looking forward to that shit. Then that's a win for you. Right. DaVinci Resolve for iPad OS. I need to try that. It's like this basically video editing app. It's like the only video editing app on iOS. The only real good one that feels like one that was made for a freaking computer. Also, I restarted watching Heroes. I stand by it. That show is absolutely awesome and worth every second of enjoyment. It's just a big superhero show. Who doesn't like superheroes? Who? Also, supposedly, the Michael B. Jordan Rainbow Six movie is moving ahead, and I'm excited for it. It was one of his best movies, was that Tom Clancy movie, because he barely spoke, but he acted everything, and it was great. Less lines, more acting, more action. Then I am pro Michael B. Jordan. Let's see. Other than the fact that I have a baby who is now calling for my attention right now, is there anything else that we should quickly go over before I end this episode? Spider-Man 2. Marvel Spider-Man 2 gets an exciting live-action teaser. Well, I'm going to have to check that out later. Come back and talk about that at a different time. Ant-Man and the Wasp, I will be going to see it, so you will be getting some opinions from me. I am excited for it. Kang looks like, it looks like we rooting for Kang, y'all. That's all I can say. It looks like we rooting for Kang. And yeah, that's really about it for now. until I read some comics. There's not too much to say about comics. So yeah, thank you for sticking around. You got your big buffet of game news. You'll be getting a more, well, I can't promise we'll be getting a bigger buffet of game news for the upcoming week, but you got some shit and felt like a normal podcast for once. Minus, you know, the ending not having the comic summaries, which I know a lot of you came here originally for, which I stayed because you love me. One day those will come back. One day those will come back. Along with book reviews. I just gotta figure out how to do a podcast with a baby who cries every 30 minutes. And then we'll get back on track. I'll figure it out. Thank you for sticking around. Episode's going up. And you should expect another one next week. Peace.